agenda to order for October 14th. First, we'll start with the flag salute. Ms. Becker, if you'll lead us in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. We have the microphone. You don't get a seat set for long. Come on down front, Ms. Becker.
She does get a sit.
She can sit.
I need to sit. Oh. Our guests are bothering me, and then I feel really dumb. Oh, it's your throne. What do you think, Jessica?
Two of you said yes.
How can you put up with that square telling you to sit?
That's right. So we're here tonight to honor Ms. Becker, and to help us with that honor, I'd like granddaughters Madeline and Jory to join us. You guys just have to stand by your grandma there. Keep her awake, because this is long. So we are here to celebrate one of the most distinguished careers in public service that Juneau community has ever seen. So Mary Becker is the longest served elected official in Juneau ever. So what does serving 18 years of elected office mean? It means having a professional career of teaching that started in 1966. I was born, by the way, and morphed into being not only a teacher, but a president, chief negotiator, building rep, political action chair, and grievance chair for the Juneau Education Association. It means campaigning and running for the school board and having to do that every 3 years. It means being elected and serving on the school board for 9 years, from 1998 to 2007. During her time on the school board, Ms. Becker served as president, vice president, and clerk. It means hitting the campaign trail again at a higher level, participating in fundraisers, speaking at forums, answering questionnaires, and walking door to door, and having to do that every 3 years. It means being elected and serving on the assembly for 9 years, from 2010 to 2019. During the time on the assembly, Ms. Becker served as mayor and deputy mayor. She has served on all the committees multiple times, with her latest committees being finance, committee of the whole, chair of the lands committee, and chair of the school facility projects team. She was also liaison to Chamber of Commerce, Docks and Harbors Board, and the UAS Campus Council. It means that in addition to her many assembly committee obligations, Ms. Becker has worked hard to promote Juneau as a capital city, serving on other committees such as the Alaska Committee, which is dedicated to keeping and enhancing Juneau as the capital of the state. Ms. Becker also made important contacts and allies for Juneau as a member of Southeast Conference, Alaska Municipal League, the Association of Alaska School Board Directors, the Alaska Retired Educators Association, and the American Association of Retired Persons. It means being the only assembly member that has received from a Grateful Lands committee staff a deed to real property because of her tenure on the assembly and her work as chairwoman of that committee. It means endless commitment to public service, serving on such organization as Bridge Builders with First Lady Donna Walker, Juneau Clean Indoor Air Committee, Juneau Poetry Out Loud, Kids Voting Board of Directors, League of Women Voters, Olympic Torch Relay Committee, see that's why I said I need a chair to sit, Sewage Statute Committee Co-Chair, Social Services Advisory Board Chair, Southeast Alaska Health Education Council, Juneau Rotary, and the United Way of Southeast Alaska. It means countless long nights in meetings, missing family dinners and special events, missing lunches with friends or family because of meetings, missing fun events or days in the sunshine while reading all the documents that are involved in the life on the school board and the assembly, and countless hours spent on the campaign trail to keep her seat in office. It means receiving loving and understanding from her family for all the time she missed spending time with them. Her husband, Jim, of almost 50 years, children, Rob, Carolyn, Christy, who's here, and Christine, grandchildren, Luke, Ethan, Reed, Madeline, Dory, and Bennett. It means that she must be exhausted from all of this and deserves a well-deserved rest and vacation without an assembly packet to read or a city budget to review. Lastly, it means that we owe Ms. Becker our heartfelt gratitude for her years of dedicated service and willing sacrifice. Her tireless work for Geno is unparalleled and something to strive for by our younger generations. Thank you, Mary, for all of us on the Assembly, for all you have given to the community of Geno. Yes, so first we have a gavel for Mary Becker, which is heavy. And then we have a little gift that you can open up.
There you go.
Good.
Oh, nice.
We're just planting the seed. We're just planting the seed. So, and we also have flowers. We normally give the spouse flowers, but we're giving them to you instead of Jim. And I need this. However, we did get Jim a little something. So, Mr. Becker, you want to come up? So thank you for your years of public service also, Jim. And these are just a couple movie cards. We hope that you take your best date to the movies with you, but it's your choice.
You don't have to.
With that, I will let you have the mic.
Well, thank you. You don't live in this town for 18 years doing this kind of work without people behind you, with you, walking with you, and often leading you, pulling you along. And I've just had a wonderful, wonderful life with working with people like this in the past assemblies. It's just been, I have enjoyed this, believe it or not. And I don't want to dwell too much on all the reading and all that stuff, because you see these two, you know, they could grow up to do something like this unless we talk them out of it. I mean, that is a concern, right? And my son back there, he's just been right there all the time, bringing us home fish, which is something that you have to have because you have to be really healthy to keep up this job. Anyway, thank you so much. Thank you. And you just keep being supportive of the Assembly, because they really need to have the support of the community. You can have a complaint every so often, but come up with some kind of way to fix it rather than just throw the complaint. Anyway, I don't want to talk forever because you don't want to hear me. But thank you all. Thank you, Assembly. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you all.
I was going to hop in anyway, so we might as well.
Thank you.
Sneak in there.
You guys need
to
stay.
Might as well.
Don't go so far.
Don't go too far.
I did. I read it, and I read all those minutes.
Yes,
ma'am.
You gave me the minutes.
With the bowl. I could just walk on there.
You could go drinking now, Mary.
Hey, Greg, sorry you're not here. Your sleep is here. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mary.
You go that way now.
Yep. Have a nice dinner.
Have a nice dinner.
Wow.
The minute you think about getting off, no.
Oh, that's it. Our next order of business will be our swearing in of our continuing members. As Mr. Smith has already been sworn over, and Mr. Palmer, how did we swear him in? It was the first.
It was the first, and we actually did it via Facebook Live and Skype from Israel about 10 days ago. So with the three of you here, if the clerk is going to hand you your certificate, and then if you want to hold that in your left hand and then raise your right hand, and then repeat after me. I, your name, do solemnly affirm to support the constitutions of the United States,
support the constitutions of the United States,
and state of Alaska,
and state of Alaska,
and the laws of the city and borough of Juneau,
and the laws of the city and borough of Juneau,
and the state of Alaska,
and the state of Alaska,
and that I will faithfully, honestly, and promptly,
and that I will faithfully, honestly, and promptly
perform the duties of the office of assembly.
Perform the duties of the office of assembly.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. Madam Clerk, will you call roll, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Here.
Mr. Edwardson? Ms. Treem?
Here.
Ms. Hale?
Here.
Mr. Bryson?
Present.
Ms. Huskandes?
Here.
And Mayor Weldon?
You forgot one.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith.
I'm here.
I'm here also.
Mayor Weldon. And a quorum is present.
All right. And that leads us to our next order of business. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to nominate and ask for unanimous consent that Maria Gladyszewski be elected deputy mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, you're stuck with it again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So now our next item of business. Mr. Jones, will you please select a seat? Okay, and Ms. Gladyszewski is stuck where she is. Mr. Edwardson has chosen to sit next to Mr. Jones. Let's move. move these real quickly. Ms. Treem, would you select a seat?
I'm going to stay here.
Okay. Ms. Hale, will you select a seat?
Like Vanna.
Moving up in the world.
You Cheetos people have to stay together. Mr. Bryson, will you select a seat?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to keep this seat.
Ms. Hughes-Gandies, will you select a seat?
I'll stay, Madam Mayor.
Okay, Mr. Smith, you are seated between Mr. Bryson and Ms. Hughes-Gandies.
I couldn't ask for a better spot.
Good answer.
Goodbye, Mrs. Hale.
All righty, so let's get down to business. Approval of minutes. Ms. Hale.
I'm sorry, excuse me, I had to get a pen. Excuse me, Madam Mayor, would you please repeat that?
Approval of minutes. Ms. Hale.
I have provided some minor grammatical changes of the minutes to the clerk, and they're all only grammatical. So I move that the minutes be approved and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, minutes are approved. All right. Manager's request for agenda changes. Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, I have two requests for agenda changes. The first is the bid award 3B for Juneau International Airport taxiway. I would like to move that from the consent agenda to new business item and make new business item B. That would put it sequentially after an appropriation that is necessary for that bid award. So that is my first one.
That, 3B, like
so the agenda from the red folder.
That's
a necessary piece of information.
Yeah. So from page nine.
Packet page nine. 3B on the bid award. If that could move to new business item B.
Everybody caught up? Okay, what's your second?
Madam Mayor, public hearing, we have item F on packet page 13. That is the ordinance related to the grant for the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. I would recommend that we remove from public hearing and indefinitely postpone consideration of this ordinance.
All right, and do you want to explain that, or are we having Mr. Attorney explain that?
Mr. Palmer could explain that.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So the purpose of indefinitely postponing an ordinance would be to kill the ordinance so it does not come back up without a new process. The similar but different option would be to lay something on the table that puts it aside for later consideration, and it can be pulled back. So if the intent is to kill the ordinance so it doesn't come back, then you would indefinitely postpone.
All right. Thank you for that explanation, Mr. Attorney. So any questions or comments on Mr. Manager's agenda changes? Seeing and hearing none. I forgot to grab the sheet. Do we have any public participation on non-agenda items?
So, we're moving this to new business, not 3B, just the whole thing, not just this.
So it doesn't look like we have any public participation on non-agenda items signed up. Is there anybody in the audience that wants to speak to a non-agenda item? Seeing and hearing no one, we will move on to our consent agenda. Are there any public requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction?
Oh, 16.
Seeing and hearing none, are there any assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Mr. Jones.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, I would like to have on packet page 8, bid award 3A, pulled from the consent agenda.
Okay, so we will see that as the first item on public hearing then. Any other summary requests for consent agenda changes? Seeing and hearing none, assembly action. Ms. Blaszewski.
I would move the consent agenda as amended and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, we will move on to public hearing.
Madam Mayor.
I'm sorry. Ms. Green.
May I ask, was that bid award 3B the only change to the agenda that was in the red folder? Are they different in any other way?
I believe that's the only change.
No, there was a. We moved. The manager moved B. So the it would A under the bid award is taken out. Mr. Jones's request and B is moved to new business.
Right. But this
she's saying between
now I can go back to it.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's saying the agenda in the
I
red
see.
Folder
I get
different
it.
From
okay.
The
right.
So. Okay. Moving to public hearing. Okay, so our first item will be the bid award on page 8 for the cold weather emergency shelter operations. Mr. Mann.
This project would provide facility space management and staffing for the CBJ cold weather emergency shelter for this winter. Bids on this project were opened on September 19, 2019. Only one bid was received. The results of the bid were a bid from St. Vincent de Paul Society, Diocese and Council of Southeast Alaska, Inc., in the amount of $125,000. I recommend you award this bid to the St. Vincent de Paul Society for $125,000.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none. Mr. Jones, you move this? Do you have a question?
I do. I would move that we approve the bid award, bid number 20-090, but I have some questions.
Okay. Proceed with your questions.
Thank you.
I have a couple, and I'm hoping you're asking them before I do.
I think all of us received an email this morning or this afternoon, and that prompted me to sort of look at and ask some questions. My questions that I posed to the city manager and to Mr. Chambor were how long was this advertised? When was it opened? What was the period to bid? This does not say whether the shelter will be in downtown Juneau or in the valley, so I wanted to know where it would be located since last season it was downtown. I had thought the Salvation Army was going to continue that, apparently not. I was wondering if they were going to use the same criteria, whether the Glory Hall and Aware were still going to be involved, whether there was the same criteria in terms of temperature, time open and close. Was there any connection?
Mr. Jones, could you let him answer some of these questions?
Well, he's got them all in an email. I
okay.
wanted you to know what he's going to tell
okay.
you.
As long as he has them in an email.
Yes. Whether it was connected to the CARE program run by CCFR. In addition, just sort of how, since it was populated and busy using downtown, if it's a valley location, what would be done about those persons downtown needing cold weather shelter? And also some data, but I'll let the manager. But those were the things that stuck out to me that in the summary that we have in our packet were not answered.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, so the Assembly and members of the public will recall that for two winters we housed the cold weather shelter in the public safety building, which was demolished last summer. We put out a competitive bid looking for somebody to figure out where it could be housed. As a municipality, we don't have any empty buildings that were appropriate. We thought that we would get a couple proposals, but in the end, we got one. We did bid package advertising in late August online and in the Juneau Empire in the newspaper. The bid period was around 3.5 to 4 weeks. We posted the results in the end of September. Last year, there was kind of a consortium of Glory Hall and St. Vincent's that operated. We were unsure if Glory Hall was going to continue interest. In the end, they were not, and Aware staff also was not. So we expect that last year's staff, who was primarily from St. Vincent's, is going to be the same staff as this year. So essentially the same operation, different location. St. Vincent's has room in their facility on Teal Street. We'll use cots that we have in our inventory. They have room in their building that is similarly sized as what we did at the public safety building. In terms of transportation for people downtown, we recognize that that's going to be an issue. Teal Street is near the bus line, but I think it's going to be likely necessary that we work with St. Vincent for shelter as a walk-up location. It will be differently accessible for downtown patrons. But I would also point out that we have people from all over the borough who need the service, and many of those people already are users of St. Vincent's services and are generally well known to their other programs and their navigators. But I believe that transportation to and from downtown is going to have to be worked on. It is going to be near the CARES program that CCFR is operating in the St. Vincent's facility. And I would anticipate that the coordination between those two programs, whether what we formerly called SleepOff, now CARES, and between cold weather shelter, there's going to be some interplay so that the services get used appropriate. And the contract was for the exact same time period as last year, November 15th to April 15th, five months on nights below 32 degrees, 11 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. We'll continue to collect data from the HMIS system, 11 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. Thank you. And other pieces of information that will help guide development and provision of social services on into the future.
Mr. Jones, did that hit all your questions?
It did. I still have some concerns. Part of the data that I was wanting to know is sort of how many from downtown versus how many from the valley. I don't know that we collected that information here when it was downtown. I'd like to know. I sort of asked the question, are we assuming everybody in the cold weather shelter quota is homeless? And yet I believe the data from last year is probably closer to 50 to 60% used it one night of the 5 months that it was open, which I'd like to find out what is the difference between people that are there one, two, three nights in a 5 month period versus those that might be there 10 or 12. Is it because they straightened up and could get into Glory Hall or whatever? So I did make some suggestions on some additional data. We're going to move to the valley, and we'll see what downtown streets look like. But I'd like to know, just, you know, is there that many homeless in the valley? I realize there might be. I realize that some are camping out. Some may be more in cars than they are downtown, and maybe a differently situated. But other than that, I think that answered my questions. And I really did want it to be public because I don't know. I was not aware that we were advertising. I wasn't aware that we were ready to bid. Still, one question I didn't ask was the $125,000 is coming from where? The fund source.
Here's budget.
His Cosgrove.
I think it's the assembly. Mr. Jones, I believe the assembly approved the funds in the budget cycle last year, and I don't know if it's in the manager's office housing. I think it's actually in housing, which is part of the manager's budget.
I should know that. So, yes, that's pretty much the question.
Ms. Hale?
Madam Mayor, thank you, Mr. Manager. The transportation, I think, is key, and I don't know if I'm asking for an update, but I think it's really important, and maybe I am asking for an update, that we find out how people are going to be transported from downtown to the valley and then back again if they want to. Right now we're hearing a lot of concern from people about the possible move of the Glory Hall to the valley, and I think it's just really important that people, if they're sort of home port is downtown, that we not whisk them away to the valley and then leave them there. So it would just be interesting to find out what that solution looks like. Thank you.
Mr. Watt.
Madam Mayor, we can provide a staff report on that at a later date.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mrs. Hale's comment will segue perfectly into mine. I wanted to point out that the warming shelter hours open after the bus stops running, and the warming shelter releases the participants before the buses begin running in the morning. So we have a shelter that is operating outside of public transportation hours. As the Glory Hall move has become more and more public, the number one concern from the businesses in the valley that are going to be connected to not only this the sleep-off center, but now the warming shelter, the main concern is that they're releasing the population out into the valley business community without transportation. Could we at least begin the process of looking at changing the bus route, or maybe having the bus route accommodate? I mean, to me, it seems pretty irresponsible for us to put the warming shelter outside of the district where the core users are, outside of the public transportation hours. This seems like a formula to either reduce the use, reduce the effectiveness to helping the citizens, and putting an additional burden on not only the business community in the valley, but also the police department in the valley, because if you have people wandering around the valley outside of the public transportation hours, we may have an issue or two. So while I understand and agree to having public or having the warming shelter and the need of it, and this is, seems to be the ideal location, but we have a very serious transportation issue that isn't addressed yet. And we're going to create a couple of problems because we don't have the answers for transportation, hoping that the sleep-off center is going to be able to transport people, and hoping that people that need the sleep-off center are able to catch the last bus out into the valley. Well, hope doesn't always provide for good solutions.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Mr. Watt.
We can provide an update at the next meeting. So this service is not scheduled to go into place until November 15th. Sure. And so we'll provide more detail on that.
I'm assuming that St. Vincent's is working out a transportation plan. I'm getting a nod from someone in the crowd. All right. Any other questions? Mr. Smith, do you have any questions?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
All right. So, Mr. Jones, could you restate your motion?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I would move that the Assembly approve the bid award, bid number 20-090, cold weather emergency shelter and operations, and I would ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, that bid award is approved. So that brings us to the regular items on public hearing. So item number 8. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-38, an ordinance amending ordinance number 87-28,
vacating the reversion clause relating to the conveyance agreement and quit claim deed for property located at 1968 Lemon Creek Road, further described as Lot 20, Block D, Glacier View Subdivision.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Mayor.
Ordinance 8728 authorized the CBJ to convey property to Jammy Health and Wellness, Inc. so it could provide housing for people receiving mental health services. 8728 included a reversion clause that required title to revert back to CBJ if Jammy ceased to use the property. Jammy requested the reversion clause be removed because it is considering selling the property and using the sale proceeds to provide better community housing and support services in more suitable locations in town. CBJ has not identified another public use for this property, and due to recent state funding reductions, allowing Jammy to retain and sell this property would be a simple way for CBJ to provide support to help the program relocate to better locations. At its August 26, 2019 meeting, the Lands Committee unanimously passed a motion of support to remove the reversion clause. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to item number 8? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Bryson.
Madam Mayor, I may have a conflict. I own a piece of property one or two addresses away from this piece of property. However, I don't know which piece of property this is, and I do not believe that it would
We were recused for 2 minutes, so you can talk to the Mr. Attorney about it.
Station support comes from Devil's Club Brewing, announcing that winter hours for the taproom and kitchen are the same. Devil's Club Brewing, featuring locally made beers and open for lunch every day at 11 a.m. Daily specials and full menu available at devilsclubbrewing.com.
Most weekday mornings, you find yourself rushing. Now you can stay on top of the news without missing a thing. Because Morning Edition from NPR News is available on demand weekdays from 7 till 3.
Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm David Green.
Every story, all the news, on your schedule. Just say, Alexa, play Morning Edition.
I believe he does have a conflict of interest. He owns property either adjacent or one away from this, and there could be a financial conflict of interest depending on what happens with this.
Okay. Mr. Bryson, you're recused. So, moving up the line, Ms. Hughes Candies.
All right. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move Ordinance 2019-38 and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objection? Seeing and hearing none, the ordinance is passed. Someone bring Mr. Bryson back in?
We went all the way out. Wait. What do you think? Okay, let's face it.
We'll be back shortly. Oh. Another break for all of us.
I'm really psyched on that one.
Since he's not coming right back, we'll take 5 minutes. We'll see everybody back at 10.
Oh, come on.
Okay, never mind. We're back in session. Took us 5 minutes to understand. So. All right. So moving on to item B, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-39, an ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to change the zoning of Lot 1, Glacier Lands Subdivision, located near 5611 Montana Creek Road, from D3 to D5.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
The Planning Commission, at its regular meeting held on August 13, 2019, recommended that the Assembly approve a request to rezone approximately 17.3 acres from D3 to D5. The Planning Commission found that the proposed rezone to D5 substantially conforms to the urban low-density residential designation of the land use maps of the Comprehensive Plan and Title 49. Furthermore, the proposed rezone is consistent with the Comprehensive Plan vision, policies, and its implementing actions, standard operating procedures, and development guidelines, which support increased residential densities when appropriate infrastructure is in place to serve the development. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing done, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Bryson, we'll pick you up again.
All right. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-39, amending the official zoning map of the CBJ to change zoning of Lot 1 near 5611 Montana Creek from D3 to D5, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, that ordinance passes. Item number C, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2018-11AQ, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $2,322,800 to fund the City and Borough of Juneau's fiscal year 2019 public employee retirement system contribution, funding provided by the Alaska Department of Administration.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $2,322,800, which is the state's fiscal year 19 5.58% on behalf PERS benefit rate paid for CBJ. Funding is provided by the Alaska Department of Administration, which was authorized by passage of House Bill 286 during the 2018 legislative session. This is a housekeeping ordinance to properly account for this on-behalf payment and has no impact on the CBJ's finances. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? And hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Treen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2018-11AQ and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, that ordinance passes. Item number D, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2018-11AR, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $2,176,791 to fund Bartlett Regional Hospital's fiscal year 2019 public employee retirement system contribution. Funding provided by the Alaska Department of Administration.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $2,176,791, which is the state's fiscal year 19 5.58% on behalf PERS benefit rate paid for Bartlett Regional Hospital. Funding is provided by the Alaska Department of Administration, which was authorized by passage of House Bill 286 during the 2018 legislative session. This is a housekeeping ordinance to properly account for this on-behalf payment and has no impact on BRH's finances. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Hale.
Madam Mayor, I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2018-11AR, funding Bartlett Regional Hospital's PERS contribution, and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, this ordinance passes. That brings us to item E. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2018-11-AT, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $2,200,000 as partial funding for the Bartlett Regional Hospital's fiscal year 2019 operating budget, funding provided by hospital revenues and hospital funds fund balance.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance will appropriate an additional $2,200,000 to Bartlett Regional Hospital for fiscal year 19 operations. BRH experienced increased patient activity that required both additional staff and supplies. This appropriation is being funded from FY19 hospital revenues in excess of the budget of $1.7 million and hospital funds fund balance of $500,000. Bartlett Finance Committee was informed of the year-end operating expense authorization shortfall and the need to obtain Assembly budget authorization at its September 30, 2019 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move the Assembly approve Ordinance 2018-11-AT when asked unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, this ordinance is passed. Okay, item F has been removed from the agenda, so that brings us to item G. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2019-06-D, an ordinance transferring $147,000 from the Juneau Renewable Energy Strategy, JRES, Implementation Capital Improvement Project to the manager for the purpose of providing a grant to HeatSmart.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would transfer $147,000 of area-wide street sales tax funding from the JRES Implementation CIP to the Mayor and Assembly's budget, providing a grant to HeatSmart, a newly organized nonprofit established to assist Juneau households reduce energy costs. The program would provide critical data and experience needed to successfully accelerate heat pump usage in Juneau. The Assembly Committee of the Whole approved this action and forwarded it to the Assembly for action at its August 26, 2019 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. We have one person that signed up so far for this item, so would Mr. Doug Woodby please come testify?
All right, thank you. Wait, pass out some cards first.
Thank you, Doug.
And Mr. Woodby, if you would state your name, the street you live on, or the region of town you live in.
Yes, Madam Mayor. My name is Doug Woodby, and I live on Noel Avenue, the address of 3240. That's West Juneau. And I'm here representing Renewable Juneau, which is a local nonprofit that advocates and educates for energy efficiency and use of renewable energy technology. And I'm here to support the Assembly's adoption of this ordinance, 2019-06-D, the appropriating funding for the Alaska Heat Smart Program. Renewable Juneau sees heat pumps as a great solution for Juneau. They reduce our Juneau's carbon footprint. They save people money, and the money that is saved is money that's spent and the energy that people purchase, the electrical energy they purchase for their heat pumps, is money that stays here in Juneau and recirculates and does not end up in the coffers of multinational oil companies somewhere outside. So it's good for Juneau's economy. We've been working to promote heat pumps for about 3 years now through our website, brochures, and workshops, and we've been glad to work with other organizations and businesses to get this program going. And I must say that all of you on the Assembly deserve a lot of credit for taking the step towards funding this program, and I thank you for that. Now, the Heat Smart program is not the only heat pump program in Juneau, and that's why I passed out those little cards to you. There's a companion program called the Juneau Carbon Offset Program, and it's separate from the Heat Smart, but it's complementary because it but it doesn't require an ordinance or any funding from the city. What it does is it makes it easy for individuals and businesses to donate money to offset their carbon footprint. And that could be from flying or driving or, say, space heating. And it's all done through a smartphone app on your that you can get at from your phone. And, you know, you, all you have to do is get your camera going, point it at the QR code that's on the card, and you'll get access to a website that'll come up on your phone. And I mention this because, do I have 10 seconds?
You have 10 seconds.
Okay, thank you. Just to let you know, the donations go through the Juneau Community Foundation, and what this program does is it makes grants to lower-income households to install heat pumps. So in combination with the Heat Smart program, we're able to cover a much wider diversity of the of households in Juneau to meet the goals of the Juneau Renewable Energy Strategy. So again, I thank you for, and I hope you do adopt this ordinance.
All right, thank you. Any clarifying questions for Mr. Woodby? Seeing and hearing none, thank you for your testimony.
You bet.
Are there any other members of the public that wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it to the Assembly. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2019-06-D and ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. Jones, would you like to speak to your objection?
I would. I was the only no vote at the Committee of the Whole to move this forward. And while I applaud the goal, I think probably a good process. By moving the money from the area-wide sales tax funding in terms of a CIP into the mayor and assembly's budget, we have set up an ongoing grant process sort of outside of the budget process and the finance committee. I think we need to just remind us all of that in the next couple of weeks, you're going to be going through all of our revenues, and you're going to be going through all of our programs, and you're going to see one program in there that says assembly grants, and it's a huge amount of money. Well, past this, you add $147,000 to that, so if any of you were looking at reducing that, think about it. But I just think that there's support for this out in the community. I'm sure it'll pass. But I just wanted us to be aware that I think this is sort of out of sequence. It takes some CIP money that generally is a one-time only, puts it into an operating. And for that reason, I'm going to maintain my objection.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Madam Mayor.
Hang on, Mr. Smith. We'll have Ms. Hale, Mr. Bryson, and then you. Oh, and then Ms. Treen.
Very good.
Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As the former liaison to the Juneau Commission on Sustainability, this is a topic that was discussed at the commission and then outside of the commission. And my inexperience as a new assembly member sort of created some confusion about how this might be funded, and so it missed that grant cycle. It's not the intent, I think, of anybody to do this again. It just happened this one time.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I believe this question, I was going to ask Mr. Jones, but it might not be the right individual. Is there a different funding mechanism that would make this more satisfactory and less to fix the issue that Mr. Jones has a concern with? Is there a different funding mechanism that we could use?
Mr. Manager?
Madam Mayor, I would suggest that as the Assembly works through its budget process fall and leads up to the retreat in December when the Assembly provides budget direction, if this is going to be an ongoing grant, that we consider it in the Assembly grant process in next year's budget rather than inside the capital improvement program process.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. question on the funding. Is this funding taking away from any other designated project, or will it be impacting fund balances or essentially the city's deficit?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Manager, did you understand what he said?
Madam Mayor, I think I understand his question. The answer really is depends how you look at it. So the money was allocated in the CIP to implement the JRES, and this is no question implementing the JRES. The question, does it affect fund balance or other projects? I would say all expenditures that get revenue from our general fund are connected. So yes. So maybe it gets two yeses to those questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Watt. Ms. Treen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I support this ordinance, and I just wanted to say I don't entirely agree with the characterization that this is a grant outside of our normal assembly grant program. Because we did allocate money to the CIP to implement the JRES, which was an assembly goal we set last December at our retreat. So this is just one way that we are accomplishing that assembly goal. And I know that we've discussed, and I can't remember if we've approved other uses for that CIP. I don't believe this $147,000 was the entire amount that we budgeted. Is that correct? So there are other things we are doing that are not assembly grants. So I just push back a little bit on that characterization of this particular ordinance.
Thank you, Ms. Treem. And for the radio public, Mr. Watt was nodding his head when this was not the only part of that budget. So. All right. Well, we have had a motion, and we have an objection. So, Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. Ms. Levishevsky?
Yes.
Mr. Bryson?
Yes.
Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Candies?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Treem?
Yes.
Mayor Weldon?
Yes.
Motion carries.
And that moves us to item H. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-06E. An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $25,402,903 as funding for the Juneau International Airport taxiways A, E, and D1 capital improvement project. Funding provided by the Federal Aviation Administration Airport Improvement Program grant.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This funding is provided by a Federal Aviation Administration Airport Improvement Program grant and covers 93.75% of the project. Matching funds in the amount of $1,693,277, 6.25%, will be provided by passenger facility charge collections. $1,281,000 was previously appropriated at the August 13, 2018 assembly meeting, and the remaining $412,277 will be temporarily funded with a transfer of airport revolving funds at the next meeting and reimbursed later from an amendment to passenger facility charge 9 collections. The project will rehabilitate taxiway A pavement, realign taxiway E, and relocate taxiway D1, replace the remaining section of the Jordan Creek culvert as required by the EIS record of decision, as well as improve drainage and replace lighting. Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed this action at its April 8, 2019 and September 23, 2019 meetings. Airport Board approved this action at its September 10, 2019 meeting. I recommend you approve this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public who wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Any questions on this one first? Okay, Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-06E, appropriating the manager the sum of $25,402,903, funding for the Juneau International Airport Taxi Rehabilitation Project, with the funding provided by the FAA. And I ask for unanimous consent.
I'm going to object just for purposes of a question. Mr. Manager, is this the bid? Because there's different numbers from the memo bid and the amount they're requesting.
Madam Mayor, the bid award, which is later under the agenda under New Business B, yes, is related to this appropriation. So if there are questions on the bid award, I would wait until that time.
So I remove my objection. Any other objection? Seeing and hearing none, the ordinance is passed. Okay, let's take a break till 8:15.
The Juneau Arts and Humanities Council has lots of exciting opportunities this fall to keep you busy. Play pickleball Mondays and Tuesdays from noon to 2, take advantage of monthly professional development opportunities in the series Technically Art, and play bingo to support the arts at Sunday Brunch Bingo. Learn more and see the full schedule at www.jahc.org or call 586-2787.
You're tuned to KTOO FM in Juneau. The time is 8:04, and we've been listening to the live broadcast of the City and Borough of Juneau Assembly meeting. The weather for tonight calls for rain, low around 35, east wind 20 to 25 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 45 miles per hour. And tomorrow, rain, high near 45. Wednesday, rain before 7, then showers mainly after 7, high near 45. Thursday, rain, and Friday, chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 45. Friday night, cloudy with a low around 36. The assembly's gone on a break, and we'll listen to music till they get back.
So hard to please, but look around, leaves are brown, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Here the Salvation Army bound, down by the riverside, it's bound to be a better ride than what you got planned. Carry your cup in your hand, and look around, leaves are brown now. And the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Hang on to your hopes, my friend. That's an easy thing to say, but if your hopes should pass away, simply pretend that you can build them again. Look around, the grass is high, the fields are ripe. It's the springtime of my life. Change with the scenery, weaving time in a tapestry. Won't you stop and remember me at any convenient time? Funny how my memory skips while looking over manuscripts of unpublished rhyme. Drinking my vodka and lime, I look around, leaves are brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Look around, leaves are brown, there's a patch of snow on the ground. Look around, leaves are brown, there's a patch of snow on the ground. Look around, leaves are brown, there's a patch of snow on the ground.
Scarborough Fair.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, we have two marijuana license renewal applications that.
Excuse me, Mr. Manager. Mr.
Before too much information gets out, I have talked with the attorney, and I am a member of the Alaska Marijuana Control Board. This licensee has other business before the board other than a renewal. And based on that and this, and talking with the attorney, I need to declare a conflict, and I'm going to leave the room, and so that I don't end up with a conflict at the state level.
Okay. Any objections for the other assembly members? Okay. Please stay within distance.
I will be in the back room.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
Not
Jones.
The other back.
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Smith.
I would like to say that I know the owners of these businesses, and due to some prior work that I had done for marijuana, another marijuana business, I may have a conflict of interest. I do not believe it would affect my ability to act in a neutral and impartial way, but I will look to the city manager, or excuse me, the attorney in the assembly.
Did you confer with the attorney on this?
I did.
And he said there was no conflict?
He said I could. He recommended that I state it on the record, but that I again believe that I can decide these issues in a neutral fashion.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Smith. Okay, now, Mr. Manager, please proceed. Mr. Attorney.
Can you just ask the public if there's any objection on with regard to Mr. Smith?
Or is there any member of the public that objects to Mr. Smith talking about this matter? Seeing and hearing none. Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, we have two marijuana license renewal applications that are being recommended for protest by the Finance Department Sales Tax Division. They are retail marijuana store license 10,050 Rainforest Farms LLC, DBA Rainforest Farms LLC, located at 216 2nd Street, Juneau. And standard marijuana cultivation facility license 10026 Rainforest Farms LLC, DBA Rainforest Farms LLC, located at 5763 Glacier Highway, Juneau. On September 26, 2019, Rainforest Farms LLC was notified by the city clerk's office via certified mail and email that the finance department was recommending protest of Rainforest's two marijuana license renewals based on a sales tax balance due of $25,112.24, as well as the unremitted taxes, penalties, and interest that were due with its delinquent July 2019 sales tax return. That same day, Rainforest Farms LLC submitted its July 2019 sales tax return, establishing an updated total balance due of $34,808.74. This updated balance due, quote, was emailed to Rainforest Farms LLC on September 26, 2019. I recommend you protest until the licensee's tax accounts are brought into full compliance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. And it looks like we have two people wanting to testify to this. Aaron Bean, please come up. Please state your name and area of residence, please.
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of the Assembly, my name is Aaron Bean. I reside in Sitka, and as noted in the list of people to be heard, I am requesting that this be held in executive session.
Okay.
Things that I need to say would tend to prejudice not only individuals, but also tend to possibly cost the corporation money.
Normally, we don't hold these in protest outside of public venue, but I will defer to Mr. Attorney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The charter gives the Assembly discretion as to how to proceed on this. The Assembly may recess into executive session if there's, and I'll just read the charter, any matter the immediate knowledge would adversely affect the finances of the municipality or would defame or prejudice the character or reputation of any person, provided that the general subject matter for consideration is expressed in the motion calling for such session. Then it goes on. I am not aware of this topic in Juneau's history or a similar sales tax protest type of item being an executive session. That doesn't mean it can't. However, I think it sets up a presumption that they are typically in a public session. Additionally, this is a sales tax protest based on an unpaid sales tax debt owed to the city, which is a trust account for the taxpayers of Juneau. That's a very public item, and this would be similar. This would be more similar to a developer or an applicant coming in front of the Planning Commission asking for a permit to be reviewed or asking for action to be taken instead of personnel action on one of the city employees, specifically the manager or myself, would be the two examples that I could give. So I think this is more of akin to an adjudication of a business item, not a personnel item, more similar to a human resource type matter.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. With that being said, what is the will of the body? Should we keep it in the public?
So this is just about whether the city is going to protest this license to the control board. We have information before us that suggests we should. I don't know what we would hear in executive session that would change that fact.
That because the facts A are not correct, and B, I do have information that I think that should be under consideration before forwarding any objections to the board. And if that's not the will of the body, that's fine. I could try to summarize what it is that I'd like to say to the most that I can publicly as myself, as an individual. But, you know, I can't speak to Rainforest Farms licenses. I can't disclose dialogue between the entity, myself, and the municipality. I can't give the body the recent history and some of the actions that have been taken within the CBJ's law department to clarify just why the account is in the state that it's in without tending to defame the corporation, its owners, and myself. So, again, I would respectfully request that we have an executive session to clarify some to clarify a few things. And I would just like the body to have all of the information as it pertains to this objection.
Mr. Attorney, with hearing that, is your opinion changed?
No.
Okay. Hearing that, is the Assembly's opinion changed?
Could you read the words about the second part of executive session, defame? It starts with defame.
Sure. It's would defame or prejudice the character or reputation of any person, provided that the general subject matter for consideration is expressed in the motion calling for the session. I'll offer that it appears that the that Mr. Bean is concerned both with individuals and more generally with the sales tax debt of the corporation. I don't know if we want to have a discussion whether or not a corporation is a person, but there's no doubt that the issue here is debt owed by a corporation.
Okay, so with listening to the will of the body, let's keep it public for now, and if there's a point that we need more clarification, we will address it then.
Okay, and my time limit is 3 minutes, is that
correct? 3 minutes, correct.
Okay, so to clarify, my name is Aaron Bean. I'm from Sitka. I've asked and will continue to ask that that you guys consider an executive session for the purposes of confidential information that I'm not comfortable sharing publicly. But with that said, I don't really have a lot of other things I can say publicly other than we're doing everything in our power, and we have been working with the municipality. We have confessed judgment on a large sum of money prior to this to try to get things moving. At the very least, I would ask for the purposes of forwarding any objection that the two licenses are separated. The sales tax is directly related to the transactions at a retail establishment for sales tax and doesn't involve the cultivation license, which is an ongoing process to be separated. So those two things moving forward, and then again, I'll request if the body would like to know any more information in terms of our current position, why it is in the state that it's in, and information that communication between the municipality and us has led us down this road. I would really like to entertain being able to go into more detail about that. But with that, I would leave you guys to make those decisions. And again, I just respectfully request that, A, you don't have any objections that could further delay a process that takes a very long time to get these licenses transferred in and out of different entities and individuals' names. And B, if you do decide to forward an objection, that you do it, again, splitting the licenses and keeping the cultivation separate from the retail. If you want to object to the retail because of the sales tax remittance issue, that's fine. But the cultivation side of it, again, isn't behind on any taxes that I'm aware of. And in fact, I do have a power of attorney for the corporation, so I can't speak on their behalf.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Are there any questions for Mr. Bean, keeping in mind his dilemma? Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think you just said it, but what is your connection to Rainforest Farms? Are you an owner?
No, I'm not. But I do have a power of attorney to be able to speak to the tax matter that's before the body tonight. And I do own a corporation that wasn't noticed for the meeting, but is in the process of being transferred. So the two licenses are two different rights to do two separate things: cultivate in a different area in town and have the retail store downtown here. And what we've done is essentially we're in the process of transferring the retail license to my corporation's name. So that's why I'm here.
Yeah. Okay, I thought I saw another hand, but Mr. Bryson.
just so that I'm clear, your corporation is purchasing Rainforest Farms, purchasing both operations, the retail and the cultivation, or
what are we doing? No, sir. We're purchasing license 10050, which is the retail establishment.
Any other questions for Mr. Bean? Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Bean, for your testimony. And this may be a question actually for Mr. Manager. You are requesting that the cultivation license not be protested, I'm not quite sure. I mean, I've read the information, but can you clarify, is there no debt owed by that cultivation company?
You asking me, ma'am?
So yes, and then Mr. Manager, perhaps
okay, so
can clarify.
To my understanding, again, this is to the best of my knowledge, there was no taxes owed to the municipality in connection with the cultivation license, which is a separate license, but the entity itself has officially not transferred. So to the best of my knowledge, no, there is no taxes owed to the municipality because they do wholesaling, but I don't know. I haven't looked through your code to see otherwise if there's any property taxes that are due or anything like that. It hasn't been disclosed to me, and to the best of my knowledge, they don't owe anything.
Mr. Manager, you want to touch that?
Madam Mayor, I think you should complete your questions for Mr. Bean, and you indicated you also have another public comment, and we can bring Mr. Rogers up on how we've handled a limited number of similar type instances.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Smith.
May I ask, Mr. Bean, if we do go through with this protest, what kind of impacts on time it will be for the proposed transfer of the license?
So what I heard you ask is, what will this do to the time for the transfer?
Correct.
I don't think that it would necessarily change any of the time. The problem that I would see is that this body would be moving forward with not 100% of the facts and protesting to a license that doesn't really meet any guidelines other than having a name on a piece of paper, that being Rainforest Farms, to have an objection for their cultivation license and could potentially delay the transfer of the retail license to WCC, my corporation.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ms.
Blaschewski? If you're buying the... Oh, go ahead. Thank you, Madam Mayor. So you're in the process of transferring the retail license. If this liability... If we protest that, what does that do to your transfer of... Does it do something to your transfer?
It may. I could not speak to what AMCO would do, but I think that, again, you would be forwarding it, not knowing, all the details of what's taking place, and B, it would create a problem in that it would still take us a little bit of time to address the liability issue that you're referring to. That's why I was hoping that no one's objecting that the tax isn't owed. The tax is definitely owed. But if there's a objection put forward, it could potentially prolong what's already been going on is the problem that I foresee. And I would just like the Assembly to consider something else, is that there's nothing prohibiting you at any point to writing a letter for whatever reason to AMCO to request a protest at any time that it be renewed. Or transferred, for that matter. The city, the municipality, and the city manager, and the attorney, and the clerk, I'm sure, will be getting a notice of complete transfer of application, at which point you could continue to, in any taxes that are owed, could continue to object to the transfer of the license. So there'll be many opportunities. This isn't the only time. And again, you guys would have an executive session, there would just be some clarification on some items that I don't feel comfortable speaking about publicly.
All
Thank you, Madam Mayor. How long has your WCC been involved in this process?
We've been involved since March of this year, but we have not been in ownership. So there's just some things that need to be flushed out that I'm not comfortable talking about.
Politics. I understand, and I appreciate that position.
But they are two different licenses, just to be clear on that.
Thank you for that. And just to be clear, I may have misheard you earlier. It sounded like you said something along the lines of CBJ's information was incorrect, but there's no objection to the fact that the tax is owed.
Correct.
You just think there's additional clarifying.
Some clarifying matters that needed
information. That would be helpful. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
All right, any further questions for Mr. Bean? All right, thank you for your testimony.
Well, thank you.
And then next we have, and I apologize for this, Mr. Scarcelli, is that correct? Close enough?
That is close enough. Thank you, Madam.
Could you tell us where your residence is, please?
My residence is 213 Seward Street, Juneau, Alaska, 99801. I am Mike Scarcelli. I am speaking as a member of WCC, Vice President, but also as an individual. I would also like to request executive session due to defaming the character of the business and or individuals involved. I would like to point out to the city attorney that whether a corporation is a person or not isn't the only issue. We also signed it as individuals. And so without saying too much, the business, which consists of Aaron and myself, we come into other businesses that need help. In this case, we signed a confession of judgment. The legal fact is I now owe that. My skin is in this game. But the actual facts, all this debt occurred prior to me ever even standing foot in Juneau. So we have a business interest in moving forward. I'm sure you can appreciate the catch-21 where we're trying to make the best. We do employ 10 people of Juneau. We pay them a good rate, a salary, a living wage. And so we do good business. And we need this opportunity to continue to create capital so that we can meet our all of our debts and move forward and continue to do good business in Juneau. So again, not all the facts are correct. I would request executive session. We do have an individually signed COJ. But overall, the other alternative that I request is that either you come to new terms with us in terms of moving forward for something that works for the business and the community, and also meet with us. We'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Before you go, Mr. Scarcelli and Ms. Lashevsky.
So I'm confused as to all the entities. Are you saying that you signed a confession, a COJ, for the $34,808 for the amount that's owed on this piece of paper, or some different amount owed?
No, there's actually a prior document for taxes in 2018. And again, in 2018, I didn't even know Rainforest existed.
Right. So your company signed a COJ for the last debt that was owed, not for this debt.
Can you repeat that question?
Your company signed the COJ for their last year's debt?
So in terms of restructuring and moving forward, we came to business agreements. But again, we wouldn't want to go into too much detail. In terms of the number that you cited, the $34,000, that is a newer amount.
Right.
But there are some issues that came up with that amount in communication between Aaron, myself, and Rainforest, and Clinton with the City Tax Department.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Bryson.
This question might be for Mr. Manager. Is this still an appropriate time?
If there's any questions for Mr. Scarcelli, otherwise we'll tell him he can leave and...
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Smith.
Just a question for the gentleman there. I guess my overriding concern on this is that some of these maybe more valuable assets, like potentially the retail license, shouldn't be moving along without the sales tax due. And again, Ms. Glashevsky's question maybe addressed this, and I don't they'll also they want to seemingly speak in executive session, but I guess my question is there a plan to get to pay off the sales tax owed?
So, did you hear that, Mr. Scarselli? Is there a plan for you to submit the sales tax owed?
We do have a plan moving forward, and we could definitely sit down with a city manager and or the assembly and go over that plan.
All right, thank you. Any further questions, Mr. Scarselli? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Mr. Bryson, you had a question for the manager or the attorney.
Yes. Two related questions. The first is we are now past the deadline for August sales tax that are due, and we are only 15 days away from September sales tax also coming due. If we have a do we have at least the August sales tax filed in a timely fashion and that amount as well?
Mr. Rogers is coming up.
Madam Mayor, we will bring Mr. Rogers, the finance director.
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Bryson, I don't know the answer to that question. Sorry.
So I follow up. Thank you, Madam Mayor. If we have a confession of judgment, doesn't a voluntary payment plan normally accompany a confession of judgment?
Yes, Mr. Bryson, that confession of judgment was for the last two quarters of 2018. The confession of judgment was for a little more than $70,000 with a $2,400 a month payment plan. My understanding is that they are current with the payment plan for those taxes, but they are not current on taxes through the 30th of June and then also July.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers.
Any questions? Ms. Hughes-Gannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My question is probably, I guess, to Mr. Attorney or Mr. Manager. With this, I'm not familiar enough with the AMCO. We haven't protested any other licenses. Could you speak a little bit to the viability of protesting at a different step in the process? Or we're butting right up against a deadline here. And
go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. So the AMCO regulations allow local government, so the CBJ, to protest within 60 days of receiving notice of a license decision. We are, as noted on the agenda packet, page 15, we are very close to the two termination of the 60-day periods for both of these licenses. So that's why we're in front of you tonight. It's a decision that has to be made tonight if you want to protest or not. It's something that we don't commonly have for marijuana businesses. We occasionally have protest decisions for alcohol businesses. It's a very similar process. But what you have tonight in front of you, as described by Mr. Rogers, is there is roughly an $80,000, $79,000 and some change, confession of judgment that was filed for prior quarters. And then since then, there's roughly $34,000 in sales tax that have accrued that is still unpaid.
Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Attorney, this portion of the CBJ code under which this potential protest is being brought up is on page 235. Is that correct? Back to page 235.
Yes.
So we're protesting under the section that says the business operated under the license is, on the date the assembly considers the license, which would be today, delinquent in the payment of any sales tax or penalty or interest on sales tax arising out of the operation of the licensed premises. Correct?
That's the most relevant section, yes. Okay.
Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Rogers, you stated that I can't remember what it's called, the something judgment, the declaration of judgment, that had carried with it a $2,400 a month payment. And are those payments current?
My understanding is that they are.
So it sounds to me then that this Is it a declaration of judgment?
A confession of judgment.
Confession of judgment. This was entered into. This second company has been making those payments, and during that time, additional debt has been, sales tax debt has been accrued. Is that correct?
Ms. Hale, I can't say with any certainty who has made those payments, but the payments have been made.
The payments have
on
been
on behalf
made.
Of the license holder.
So there was debt from 2018, there's a payment plan, and payments are being made, and now we have debt from 2019. And it appears that we have two people that want to tell us more information that would help us understand perhaps if that 2019 debt might be resolved. It almost seems like we might want to hear that additional information. Because the 2018 debt is being resolved. It is being paid off.
Madam Mayor.
I would just... Oh.
Mr. Go ahead, Mr. Palmer. Sorry.
So as Mr. Rogers described, the debt from the confession of judgment is being paid off. The debt that's in front of you is not. There is this additional $34,000 debt. It's not subject to the confession of judgment. It's new.
Ms. Gladyshevsky and then Mr. Smith.
I would just say, Ms. Hale, after everyone's questions are answered, I would intend to make a motion to give them all this time until whatever date, you know, I guess it's October 18th to get another confession of judgment. And if they do, we won't protest. And if they don't, we would protest. So they have four more days to sign something. But after...
Mr. Attorney.
So the dilemma that you have tonight is that one comment period ends tomorrow for the retail store. And the other comment period for the cultivation facility ends on the 18th on Friday.
Oh, I was looking at the 18th. Yeah. I see. So there's two. Okay.
So, Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. No. Mr. Attorney or Mr. Manager, I guess what, besides protesting these license renewals to AMCO, what other ways can the city be assured that we're going to get this money owed?
Mr. Attorney?
So there's a couple options that may be available. The protest period that the assembly is in tonight is one of them. The other option is the City and Borough of Juneau does have a marijuana license that is administered through the Community Development Department that can be independently evaluated. I don't know if CDD is planning to do anything or if they've done anything. The other option is that if this debt is not satisfied quickly, what typically happens is that we engage in civil litigation in which everything is public. There's none of this information from past businesses is in any type of executive session, any type of secret. It's all public. And if we can reach an agreement, the agreement is typically a confession of judgment. If we can't, then we fight it out through motion work. And I don't know if it has to go there or not.
Thank you, Mr.
Follow up, Madam Mayor.
Go ahead, Mr. Smith.
Mr. Palmer, you mentioned I am aware of that. The city does issue their own license for these commercial marijuana businesses. Is that tied to the actual state license, or is that tied to the entity? I think it's called the licensee.
Mr. Attorney?
So the city has, on the Community Development Department, the marijuana license is specific and has to be renewed, I believe, every year. That has a very specific process, and that is the most relevant enforcement tool. The Community Development Department also administers a conditional use permit. That runs with the land, and that doesn't matter who the licensee is, but the CBJ marijuana license, that is more specific.
Okay.
Ms. Blaszewski?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So that's exactly what I was going to ask. When we wrote that ordinance, we specifically put in a CBJ license for these and any other anticipated circumstances. So we wouldn't have to genuflect to the state only and ask the state to do something. We could do something independently. But to my knowledge, we've never done that. We've always done this and done the state protesting. So, and I don't think, well, I don't know because I can't remember, but whether we can pull that at any time for violation of any provision or if it has to be in the renewal. I don't recall, but I absolutely recall that we put that in there on purpose for these kinds of things. So I don't know if you know right now without having the whole thing in front of you whether that is a mechanism that we could use to force a COJ on people who want to operate a marijuana business in our town.
Mr. Attorney.
I don't know if it would be the mechanism to force a COJ. It would be the license, the CBJ marijuana license is different than the COJ process. They can be linked by the same reasons as to what gives cause to suspend or revoke a license or what gives cause to initiate a civil action that leads to a confession of judgment. But the two are slightly different, but they do provide independent ways of trying to achieve payments. I'll stop there, but we do have a very very specific kind of kitchen sink sort of approach to what would be a prohibited act to justify a CBJ marijuana license action.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I find it very frustrating that this body, the Assembly, is given an action that has to take place because there's something that will happen tomorrow if we don't take this action. That's not fair to us. That's not fair to the people involved in this decision that we are essentially being forced to make a decision because the action has to occur in one day.
Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, we have thousands of businesses in the borough that pay their sales tax, and we have a simple sales tax issue here that appears complicated. I don't think it is. We are owed some $34,000 in sales tax. we have a mechanism for protesting on the conveyance of the licenses that are necessary from the state. It's a pretty normal process.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Manager. I'm going to ask a couple questions. I got to jump in. Can we separate the businesses like Mr. Bean suggested?
Madam Mayor, the city attorney could advise you about whether or not you have the legal authority to separate the licenses. The piece that I can complete is that we have had comparable circumstances in the past with liquor licenses where we had a restaurant group owned by one entity with multiple liquor licenses. When one of those businesses was in a similar situation with unpaid sales tax, we worked through the process with that entire restaurant group as one entity with all of their liquor license under threat of protest. So all I can tell you is that the standard that we are applying in this case to a cultivation and a retail license is consistent with what we have done before in similar circumstances where one entity owned multiple operations with separate liquor licenses and we threatened protest on all of those liquor licenses.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. And then my other question to either one of you, if they are able to transfer the business, does this debt of the sales tax get transferred to, or are we going to be left getting owed sales tax and then they have a new owner of the business? That's my concern.
Somebody other than the city is going to pay this. I don't know who it is. It's been a moving target both for the city and for AMCO as to what happened since March. And it's a little unclear based on what was said tonight by the two representatives from WCC as to who is paying this debt and who is responsible for this debt. I'll leave it there.
Thank you.
Ms. Lasha.
Just one more quick question. I know the 60 days is up for one tomorrow, the one on the 18th. And then when does the Marijuana Control Board take these up? In other words, I get we have to protest by tomorrow, but do they then meet in 2 weeks or 1 week or 2 months? Or in other words, then, yeah.
Sure. So the Marijuana Control Board meets November 13th through 15th.
Okay.
That's an option. I will say a protest from local government may cause the director of the staff to also take action as soon as they receive the protest.
So they don't have to wait till November 13th.
They have a little bit of discretion as to what to do.
Ms. Hughes-Gandies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. One more question then. So this 60 days notice, that's the only time that we get noticed. So it's...
Correct. And I will say this hasn't just sat on a bookshelf until the very last minute. The typical practice for entities is when the CBJ is notified, the clerk does an amazing job providing notice to all the departments asking if there's any reason to protest. And usually the departments come back and say something, and then there's a back and forth with the business owner to work through in that time period to try to resolve it. We're at a point now where we are at the last minute because there was no resolution in which a payment, a confession of judgment was set up or full satisfaction was in front of us.
And I didn't mean to imply that. I was just making sure that there's not some other mechanism through the AMCO regulations.
All right. Any more questions?
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Smith.
Does any city staff know what this protest, how the protest would affect the transfer of these licenses, the timeline of the transfer of these licenses?
Who wants to answer that? Well, Mr. Turney.
It depends on what AMCO does. I don't know what the director will do, and I obviously don't know what the board will do. There's been a lot of board interest on this transfer for a while, so they're well-versed in what's going on.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Attorney. Ms. Glad... I'll wait.
May I ask Ms. Gladyszewski a question? You asked when the AMCO board met. Is there prior history of, have you ever not protested a liquor license and then ended up the city did protest a liquor license, or
no,
or vice versa, withdrew?
We protested and we took it back.
Because then it was paid.
Right. Or then a COJ happened or was paid, either one.
I see.
Okay, well, I think Ms. Gladyszewski is willing to entertain a motion.
My motion. I move that the city protest both of these licenses until the tax accountants are brought into full compliance, either by payment or a confession of judgment. And for the retail license tomorrow, since that's the deadline, but I would move that the cultivation license wait to protest until the 18th, and then not protest if they do either pay it or enter into a confession of judgment.
Madam Mayor, objection.
Hang on, Mr. Smith. We're still working through this one. Madam Clerk, do you have that? I'm still working on it. Thank you.
So I move that the Assembly protest the retail marijuana license until the license tax accounts are brought into compliance, and protest the cultivation facility on the 18th
if the
accounts are not brought into compliance prior to the 18th.
And we would lift both of them on the 18th if they were both brought into compliance.
Well, we have to... I think my understanding is we have to do something on the 15th for the retail, and we could write a letter, say we take it back, but that's for later. The only one we have a few days to wait on is the cultivation.
Okay. So you're holding We're protesting the first one unless they come up with some miracle tomorrow.
Right.
And we're holding our protest till October 18th on the other one.
Right.
Is that correct? Okay. Is that helping the clerk?
It does, if I might.
Madam Mayor, objection.
Mr. Smith, would you wait, please?
Yes. Sorry.
Just to note that the Alaska Day holiday is on Friday the 18th, and so if they were to pay it in full on that day, it would not be anyone here to take that payment.
Okay, and the 17th, then make the motion say the 17th.
End of the day on the 17th, I guess. Okay, when you're ready, Madam Clerk, could you read back your motion?
So the motion by Ms. Gladyszewski is to protest both licenses, provided that the protest would not be, to protest both licenses with protest of license number 10050, retail license, as of tomorrow's date, and that license 10026 would, the protest would be held, providing that both licenses would be paid in full or a confession of judgment. Is that correct?
Let me try again. So move that we protest the retail license the end of the day tomorrow. Okay. Protest the cultivation license the end of the day on the 17th.
Stop. Let her get that.
If they come into compliance by the end of the day, the 17th, we won't protest the cultivation license.
And if they, may I amend your motion to say if they come in compliance with either one of them, we will lift our protest?
Yes, we would.
Just to clarify, Madam Mayor, when you say if they come into compliance with either one or both of them,
if they pay the $34,808.74,
because they will have a small window before the marijuana board does anything.
Okay. So to restate the motion by Ms. Gladyszewski, the city protests the retail license by the end of the day on the 15th, and to protest the cultivation license by the end of the day on the 17th. And if they come into compliance by the end of the day on the 17th, no protest would happen on the cultivation license. If they come into compliance with both licenses, the protest would be lifted.
If the little amendment, if they come into, when they come, if they come into, when they come into compliance, we would write a letter to the control board to say that they paid or have entered into a COJ.
So it's not a true amendment, I'm just asking you that.
Yeah, no, no, that's fine. So it wouldn't have to come back before us before November 18th. Or 13th, sorry.
So just to make sure I have that correct, Ms. Gladyszewski, when they come into compliance, we would notify AMCO that the protest is lifted if they enter into a COJ or pay in full.
Yes.
Correct. All right. Does everybody understand the motion? All right. Mr. Smith, do you still object?
I do, Madam Mayor, just because I believe, from my understanding of the conversation and the concern of the public testifiers, their interest lies in the retail marijuana store license, not in the cultivation license. So my thought would be either do them both and protest as proposed here by the manager, or to do neither and allow the other mechanism that we have, which we do not have for liquor license, which is this the city marijuana license, which could essentially be, not a legal term, held over their heads until the sales tax is due. So those are personally, I would say we might, if we're going to protest the retail, we might as well just protest the cultivation now. I understand where Ms. Gladyshevsky is going, and maybe the kind of the clause of, oh, if they pay by the 17th, then we don't protest. But I'm not sure if that's actually a probable outcome. So my thoughts would be to just protest them both, or to protest neither at this point.
Remember, you're just speaking to this motion. So
right.
We understand you have an objection. Any other objection? Ms. Hill.
Thank you. If I could speak to the objection.
Are you objecting?
I am objecting.
Okay, thank you.
And if I could add to the
yes,
objection.
Yes, would you speak to your objection?
Yes, yes. I very much appreciate Ms. Gladyshevsky's experience with the marijuana process that CBJ went through, because it's very helpful to educate the rest of us. And the fact that we actually do have recourse at the city level, and thank you, Mr. Manager, for clarifying, or Mr. City Attorney, for clarifying that people weren't just sitting on their hands with this, that it actually has a process to go through. And so that 60 days it's walked through that process. But given the fact that we are looking at this, we, the Assembly, the decision-making body, are looking at this one day before that 60 days is due, and given the fact that we have an alternative that we can apply, I think we should go for the alternative. And given the fact that we appear to have another company that is working towards alleviating this sales tax burden, these problems, it's my inclination to allow that to happen and to use the mechanism that this very body created for these kinds of instances.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to have to speak in favor of the motion. As much as it pains me to have to protest a fellow business, my day job is connected to the retail location. But we are in a business that knew last year that they were having sales tax issues and had to enter a confession of judgment. That's a wake-up call. And if that's not a wake-up call for a business, then they might want to reconsider. And so going into this year, they knew they had a confession of judgment, they had a sales tax issue last year, and they continued to allow that to be an issue. And doing a little bit of math, as the sales tax number grows, their confession of judgment, the amount that they're currently paying, they're still going backwards. And the fact that August is due and we don't have that number, September will be due before letters even get written, the appropriate course of action to keep the business field fair, the playing level fair for every business. No business gets to skate for a year on sales tax, not without severe consequences. They have failed in their compliance of taking city tax money. It's not theirs. It was not theirs to keep. And I speak from personal experience. I was on the wrong side of this too. That's why I knew what a wake-up call was. And so I am going to have to speak in favor of this protest.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Do you want to speak in favor of
this? I would like to just briefly. I just would agree with what Mr. Bryson said. They knew this last year. They've collected money that isn't theirs. They've had 60 more days with many people calling them. And they're not even here. It's another entity that's here. I think that the city has been more than fair trying to work with them on these issues.
Thank you, Ms. Blaschefty. I'll also speak in favor of the motion, basically for the same two reasons. Sales tax is not a business's money. You're merely a pass-through from the citizen to the city, so that they're using these sales taxes strikes me wrong. Having own a business, that's your first thing you should pay. Also, I'm concerned with what Ms. Gladyshevsky said I appreciate these gentlemen coming in tonight, and I hope you wish you success in trying to take over these businesses, but the people that are losing this business or giving up this business are not here, and I'm afraid what would happen if these gentlemen decide that they don't want this business, and here we are without having protested this. So I hope that the new folks can take care of this and work with the sales tax people and end up with a confession of judgment and move forward in the time allotted, but I speak in favor of protest. All right, with that being said, Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
Madam Mayor. Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Bryson?
Yes.
Ms. Hale?
No.
Ms. Hughes-Scandes?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
No.
I'm sorry, was that a no?
No.
Okay. Ms. Treen?
Yes.
And Mayor Weldon?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-2.
Thank you for coming in.
Madam Mayor, Mr. Jones?
Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Jones.
I can't believe our airport director went again.
Are you two really giggling over there?
In a moment.
I hear giggles.
Okay, now we're moving on to item B, our airport bid award. And if you haven't changed out your packet, it's on packet page 9 in your red folder. And let's see here. We'll go straight to you, Mr. Manager. Okay.
Madam Mayor. Juno International Airport Taxiway A, E, D1 bid award. Bids were opened on the project on August 22, 2019. CECON was the sole bidder. Bid protest period expired on August 23, 2019. The results of the bid opening are included in your packet. I recommend this bid be awarded to CECON for a total bid amount of $21,801,430.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any questions? Comments, concerns? Seeing none, I have a quick question. Our bid amount is $21 million, but our estimate was $17.7 million. You knew you were going to have to answer that, Ms. Watto, so come on up. Why the big discrepancy?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So you're looking at the discrepancy between the engineer's estimate. So there's a process that goes on. Let me explain that one first. So before we can award a sole bid or a bid that's over, a process has gone through with the FAA as well. It involves two independent looks, line by line, on everything that is on. So you may have three or four pages worth of items, from barricades to time doing something. So those are assessed independently, and they go back up to, they come back up to the project manager and then back up. So once that has been made, they found that throughout this whole estimate, there were some things that were over, some things that were under, and some things that were just miscalculated by the engineer's estimate, which is a design team that we hired. So the FAA thought it was reasonable to go through that process then and increased the bid that we had applied for, the grant that we had applied for, and increased that, which you've passed earlier. So it's basically going through things line by line, which on the bottom line, we were underestimated by the engineer.
All right. Thank you. Any further questions? Mr. Jones.
As soon as my calculator works here. That's assuming it works. If I go back to the ordinance we adopted, which appropriated a federal grant, federal grant was 25,402,903. And then it talks about the match, which is 1,693. So that comes to a total of 27,096,108. Bid award was 21,800. So there's $5.5 million. Where is that money going? And why? And what control do you have over those expenditures?
Ms. Waddle.
Thank you, through the mayor. So a large piece of that, the one of the largest deltas in there, is going to be over $3 million in contract administration and inspection. So we're under, we're negotiating right now with Dowell, who came through in an RFP. So they'll oversee the project. So not only do we have our project manager, we have our design consultant on board for another piece of this project, and then a contract administration and inspection, which is another just under $3 million. And then there's other costs for staff that's in there, such as hiring of safety officers and others that are going to be on the job for 2 years.
Mr. Jones, you have a follow-up?
Is the contract administration generally that high, I guess? If the bid's $21 million and contract administration is $3 million, you're talking 12%, 14%. I'm trying to remember Docks and Harbors, you know, on 16B, I think was maybe 8 or 9%, or less. I don't know the exact figures. That seems high. And then for you to hire safety officers, I guess, to flag or whatever, and not that be part of CCON's responsibility. Could you explain those two, please?
Ms. Waddle.
Yes, thank you. On a project like this that has to do with movement areas, it's expected to be that high. As a matter of fact, where we're negotiating is right in the ballpark for an FAA contract that involves anything like a runway or taxiway. It's a lot higher for contract administration and inspection. It's hiring a firm and multiple people that are inspecting everything along the way within the FAA rules, regulations, and ACs. So that's a normal expense for this type of project. And what was the second question?
The second question was, why would it be the responsibility of either the contract administrator or yourself to hire those safety people, and that was not part of CCON's mobilization? I mean, I assume that on other projects, they have to do the flagging on the highway, they have to, you know, reroute traffic, those kinds of things. Why not CCON and why contract administration?
Okay, it is a really good question, but because we answered this back 2 projects ago with the runway safety area and then did it again with the tax or the runway area. No one has more at stake in this than the airport and the city. So we hire them ourselves because we want the safety falls on our back, and we know more about that. Let the contractors do their work, which is construction. The CA, the contract administration, let them do their work with oversight on the contract and inspection, and then we do that other part, watching the safety and kind of orchestrating it all together at the ground level.
One final question.
Mr. Jones.
So is it the contract administrator that would approve any change orders? If they're responsible for the safety and CCON says you held us up for 2 days or you made this 3 days longer and want additional money, who arbitrates the change orders?
Ms. Waddle.
That's the answer.
It all falls back on you. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, it does. But that's why we go into this, and we have, there are daily meetings, there's weekly meetings. it's something you handhold all the way through, and this is a very important project with everyone involved. Anytime you've got the movement area, which is our runways and taxiways. So, yes, the responsibility falls on the shoulders of the airport and the city.
Any further questions? Okay. Since I lost track of where I was, Mr. Jones, you did all the talking. We'll move, go to you.
Sure. Now that I've moved on. Back to where I need to be. I guess I would move that the assembly approve the the Juneau International Taxiway bid award of $21,801,430
to CECON. Any objections? Seeing, hearing none, so moved. You guys ready for a little break?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so let's take a break until 9:30.
Have you heard of Tina Fey, Stephen Colbert, Chris Farley, Amy Poehler? All these comedy superstars passed through the doors of Chicago's famous improv comedy troupe, The Second City. And now you can join KTOO as The Second City comes to Juneau. Join us October 27th at the JDHS Yada'at Kahle Auditorium. Tickets at KTOO.org, Hearthside, and The Jack. This KTOO fundraiser made possible with support from Zentropa Services.
You're tuned to KTOO Juneau. We've been listening to the live broadcast of the assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Juneau, and the time is 9:20. They will be back again at 9:30, taking a short break. The weather for tonight calls for rain, low around 35, east wind 20 to 25 miles per hour with gusts as high as 45 miles per hour. And tomorrow is rain, high near 45. Wednesday, rain, and then showers. Thursday, rain. Friday, a chance of rain. And Saturday, a chance of rain and cloudy. The highs are near the mid-40s, and the lows are near the mid-30s. So while we're waiting, if you can stand some more of Simon and Garfunkel, I will play some more of them.
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home for my family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway station, landscape. Seeking out the poorer quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. Lie-la-lie, lie-la-lie, lie-la-lie. Asking only workmen's wages, I come looking for a job, but I get no offers. Just to come home from the wars on 7th Avenue. I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome I took some comfort there. La 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 la. Thank you.
My old friend, I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light. Split the night, the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like
sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls. Tenement halls whisper sounds of silence.
Your plane right on time. I know your part will go fine. Fly down to Mexico. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And here I am, the only living boy. The news I need on the weather report. Oh, I can gather all the news I need.
Weeks ago, I was notified by the HUNA manager that they had filed their borough formation petition with the local boundary commission for initial review. And the public has is beginning to become aware of their filing. Mr. Palmer has several maps on the board, and we'll walk through those maps to get you oriented to the HUNA filing and what it means for us. There's no attempt to get assembly action tonight. The purpose is to just advise you of the situation and advise you that I've been in communication with HUNA. We have a little bit of an overlap in our two boundaries. So the first map that Mr. Palmer has on the screen is the proposed HUNA borough boundary. It is there are a number of big issues in their proposal, which are they're really not ours to explain or characterize. Their proposal proposes to detach sections of land from the Sitka and Haines boroughs and bring those into a newly formed HUNA borough. So I would imagine there's going to be a lot of process amongst our southeast neighbors over those questions. So that's the first map, the overall map of the HUNA proposal. Sure, Mr. Palmer.
I'll walk through this a little closer. And you have this in your red folder. And for the public listening, it's also available online on the assembly agenda. So the HUNA borough is this pink, reddish color, and it's large. So it goes all the way out to the 200 nautical mile boundary, which is the maximum extent of Alaska's territory. And that there's a little bit of issue with that, but that's for HUNA to play with. HUNA... This is the section in with this purple line that's currently in the Sitka borough that HUNA is looking to acquire from Sitka. So it's the north end of Baranoff Island, the southern end of Chichikov Island. And then the Haines borough is in blue. And this is the area of the mainland peninsula that runs down kind of Lynn Canal, southern Lynn Canal, that's in Haines currently that HUNA is looking to take jurisdiction of. Juneau is over here in the dark blue, and I'll point to you that HUNA is not competing with us except for a little chunk of territory in here around Funter Bay. And we can we have another map that describes that in a little bit more detail.
Madam Mayor, so the next map up is a close-up of Northern Admiralty Island. In our parlance, when we went through our borough discussions, we referred to the Mansfield Peninsula area and associated small islands as Area D. Our proposed boundary, it's a little hard to see, but It is the Mansfield Peninsula less what's shown on the map as the Funner Bay exclusion area. So it's the whole peninsula less that black dashed line with hashes. The proposed HUNA boundary is the red dashed line and the shaded yellow area. So the two things that don't line up are the northern end of the Mansfield Peninsula, which is orange. We both have in our applications. I've advised Mr. Benton of the Point Retreat Lighthouse Association that two entities are interested in having his association in their boroughs. And so he's coming up to speed, and he's advised me he has yet been able to fully develop an opinion on that as to if either or any of the boroughs is preferable. And then you'll also notice that there is part of the area that we did not select around Funner Bay that neither HUNA nor CBJ put in its boundary. I would suggest that we just take this under advisement, and I will continue communicating with the city of HUNA on their proposed borough, and perhaps we can come up with a boundary that meets everybody's intents, and perhaps over time Mr. Benton will be able to form an opinion. There also may be several other small inholdings on Mansfield Peninsula, I believe. There might be another smallish property on the western shore. So that is the area that we have with HUNA, and both applications will be before the Boundary Commission for too long. And I would expect a lot of process, a lot of public process. And our little, I'm going to call this a little issue here, I think is small compared to the big philosophical issues that the HUNA borough boundary presents.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Questions, Mr. Jones?
Just one quick one. Am I reading this correct that given our proposal and HUNA that both Funter Bay would be excluded from either one, and looking at this, the city of Gustavus would be excluded from the HUNA borough? So if, in fact, the local boundary commission were to accept both and figure out the boundaries wherever the conflict is, we would have two small communities, Funter Bay and the city of Gustavus.
This is in the HUNA borough.
Mr. Attorney,
I'll take that one, and I will I'll walk you through
the HUNA borough. Oh, you mean this?
Yeah.
Mr. Jones has identified a couple nuances here. So on this map, this is the I'll call it the conflict map, where the two proposed annexation boroughs overlap. This area, kind of right in here where the words Funter Bay are, that's the actual Funter Bay. On the north side, there's a watershed that HUNA is capturing, so land that HUNA is capturing and the water, except HUNA's initial geographic description didn't capture the watershed on the south side of Funter Bay. And there are some parcels in there. In conversations with our GIS person that helped create this map that's in front of you right now, he actually wondered maybe if it was a geographical error that they just forgot to connect a lower loop and instead went straight across. So I don't know if this one's set in stone. I think HUNA may have an opportunity to double check that after they go through the technical review. And then I'll go back to the HUNA map. And Mr. Jones identified a, maybe I'll call it the keyhole or the enclave conundrum for HUNA.
Yep.
That HUNA has excluded the city of Pelican here. HUNA has excluded the city of Tinicky Springs and excluded the city of Gustavus.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Jones? Anybody else?
No, I'm curious.
I do not want to be on the boundary.
Okay, since there's no further questions, we'll move on. All for Ms. Gladyszewski. So first we have the mayor's report. Did you guys have any other staff updates? And I talked to all of you except for Mr. Smith because I didn't call long distance. And did we get a copy to Mr. Smith?
I'm doing that right now. I forgot to.
Okay. Anyway, this is, I'm passing out our 2019-2020 Assembly Committees and Liaison Appointments. Like I said, I've talked to all of you, I think, except for Mr. Smith, so this should be no surprise. One thing that a couple of the Assembly members and I are looking at, Mr. Edwardson and I are looking at changing lands, and right now I just put a title of Lands, Resources, and Economic Development. Any kind of change to this would involve some changes to our rules and procedures, which we will deal with at our retreat. But that's just letting you know kind of where I see life, because we don't really have anything that falls through. And one of the things we'll do at our retreat is make sure that our committees are lining up with our assembly goals. So as we do our goals, they can go to a committee. And then the other piece that I have changed a little bit in conjunction with Mr. Jones is the school facilities CIP and maintenance team, we're calling that, and that will be a joint team with the assembly and school boards. The school board members will choose their own members, but I have brought this in compliance with our charter, so there are four members of this committee, and Mr. Jones will share that. So with that being said, if there's any questions, I will answer them at this time, but I don't know if there is any. And we've looked at this several times. When you look at it, you get a little batty. So if there's any committee I missed, please let me, or any liaison or board that I missed, please let me know and we'll fix that.
So, thank you for your hard work, Mayor.
Thank you. Yes, I think we do need to ratify it. So, Ms. Gladyszewski.
I think sometimes we have given a week. So if we have a committee, but we don't meet for 2 weeks. Okay. I mean, sometimes we've given a week just for people to figure out if this is okay.
Okay.
But I'm not sure that we have a week, given that our next committee of the whole is 2 weeks from this.
We could do it at the committee of the whole. That's fine.
Does anybody have any objections to this list at this time? We'll move forward. Like I said, I've talked to everybody except for Mr. Skewin. Do we actually need
to make
a motion?
I would move that the Assembly accept these committee assignments as listed on this page. I'm holding in my hand. I'm the Madam Mayor.
Any objections? Hopefully, Mr. Smith, have got yours.
I do see them. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
And as the junior member of the Assembly, I told them, you get what you get, you don't throw a fit.
You like it.
So that brings us
to our next item.
And we've chatted about this for quite some time. And this is the Visitor Industry Task Force that I am forming. And I think there's a couple numbers for the press that they want to run down for it. So as everybody knows, this is becoming a topic of interest this year due to our rather high percentage of growth, although I'm told that the numbers aren't quite high as they predicted. But anyway, this is basically the charge paperwork for them, and it lists their members, it lists the purpose. And instead of two statements that I showed you before, I actually broke it down into four, because there is quite a visitor industry is quite a complex topic. So I also gave them another month, and we'll see how far they get, and then hopefully they'll whip through this under the great guidance of Ms. Treem, who is going to be the chair of the committee, and do well. And just for the
Radio Public, our two assembly members are Treem and Bryson, and our members of the public are Kirby Day, Paula Terrell, Holly Johnson, Alita Buss, Dan Blanchard, Melanie Shivens, Bobby Mazaros, and Craig Dahl. So, and it took a lot of talk and talking with people and seeking recommendations of people to serve on this community. So hopefully I've tried to get as much covers of the facets of the community as possible, and some folks might see that there's a lots of tourism people on there, but I think they would be surprised to know that there's tourism people that are against growth also, so they kind of cancel each other out sometimes. So anyway, if you have any further questions, I'd be willing to talk with them.
You've been busy.
I've been busy. And I promised, sorry, Madam Clerk, I threw you under the bus, that this would be on their website tomorrow for people to pick up.
Madam Mayor?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Mr.
Has any meeting been scheduled at this point?
Not at this point, because that's up to the chair, and she needs to poll her members and see when it is. I did tell them that the time that the Child Care Task Force found was on Friday at noon, so they might want to look at that. So,
I will be asking you for your advice, Mr. Jones.
I also told you that.
I just want to know what every meeting is. At least I can sit in the back and just stare.
Yeah. And intimidate me.
And I would recommend as many assembly members can meet to go to this, and members of the public to go to this committee or this task force as much as possible. Because it, when it gets to us, we need to be as much as we can up to speed. So that takes care of that. And then I continue to be busy. So this next one is a different, interesting one. And basically, this is for the Eagle Crest Summer Operations Task Force. And the easiest way to describe this is Eagle Crest is gung-ho and doing great things, but they're on this projection, and the Assembly, as we all know, moves at this projection, and this committee is trying to bring us together and get them to realize that there's lots of hoops and procedures that they're going to have to jump through at the same time, trying to help guide their innovative thinking so up there. So I have created another task force, and this will be chaired by, whoops, I'm not passing them out, sorry. Ms. Gladyszewski, thank you, Ms. Gladyszewski, for volunteering, and I also picked Ms. Treem for her economic background and Mr. Bryson for his business background, and we chose from Eagle Crest Board Bruce Garrison, Jonathan Dale, and Mike Satry. So, and basically they're going to do a lot of research and try and bring the vision, as it will, to reality. And Madam Chair Gladyszewski has to talk with her folks to figure out when those meetings are. And this one was a little broader because I'm not sure how long it's going to take to go through this. I believe that she will keep them on task within the 9 months I gave you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Any questions on that? Okay, well, I'm going to keep it short on my fit. I was very busy this month, did lots of things, but the only one I'll point out is Robert Barr and I were lucky enough to be invited to No Small Matter, a summit on economic impact on early care and learning up in Anchorage, where we were sat on the panel. And I'm happy to say that we formed a task force, our task force under Mr. Jones' guidance, gave us good, solid recommendations. And under, I think, Mila got this one. She was appointed this. The staff has been hard at work going through their motions. And as much as Ms. Cosgrove didn't like, I did share with the group very, very draft, actual things that we are doing.
Alternative solutions.
Alternative solutions. So I'm happy to say that task force
We put it together, it did its work, and we are acting on their recommendation. So, but she will share that with you later. But it was a great experience, great group of people that are trying to work with that, and it was very humbling to see Anchorage Assembly members, Valdez, Gustavus, several cities looking to see what Juneau's doing, because even though we don't seem to be doing much, we are the leading city in the state of Alaska in child care stuff. Anything, with that being said, I'll pass it down. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So very quickly, on the 4th, I was able to attend Mary Becker's retirement party, and there were some really great speakers there, and everybody, there was a couple of moments folks got teary-eyed. On the 8th, we had a Parks and Rec, where we talked about some of the new cabins coming online, including the Eagle Valley cabin that'll be coming online soon. The same night, I attended the ATIA fundraiser for Dan Sullivan. That was a great little ATIA party. On the 11th, I was the host for Helping Hands. And backing up just a couple of weekends, I was the parking attendant for the electric vehicle roundup. So that was a fun little afternoon. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Mr. Smith, do you have anything to add? Since you aren't got any of your committees or liaison yet?
Right. No, beyond being able to attend Ms. Becker's retirement party, which was fantastic, and be able to thank her for her service there. It's been great getting to know over the last couple of months, just her humor and dedication, grace and honesty. Just appreciate her 18 years of service. And yes, looking forward to serving. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Hughes-Candies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will keep this relatively brief. It was a busy chunk of time. A couple of items of note. I went to the electrical vehicle roundup as well. Had some good chats with the people there, and Mr. Cheney of the Land Department got me thinking about buying a Bolt. So that was bad for my wallet. I was out of town for the Downtown Business Association's meeting, or swap that, for the Juneau Commission on Aging's meeting, and work obligations prevented me from going to my Downtown Business Association meeting. So I cannot tell you what happened during those. I got to attend the opening night of Devil Fish at Perseverance Theater. Really amazing, important play. It's closed here, unfortunately. If you want to make the journey to Anchorage, I highly recommend seeing it. It was a not-miss one, very special. Thanks to Vera Starboard for writing that. And I also got to meet with Jess, which is a Juneau Education Support Staff union here in town, who, along with our teachers, do so much for our kids. So really good chats with them, and thanks. And I'll just close by saying Happy Indigenous Peoples Day to everyone listening at home.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes-Candies. Ms. Dream.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Aquatics Board met on September 24th. We heard a bunch of updates on pool operations. One exciting one that I want to try out is key log rolling. So these are kind of like plastic logs where you can do log rolling in the pool so you can practice for the Petersburg 4th of July competition. They are going to have a class, which I believe is going to be weekly, but don't quote me on that. It's starting on October 23rd at Augustus Brown, and there will be no fee other than the regular pool admission. And also at that meeting, a number of members of the public attended to speak about the proposed changes to private lessons. We got an update from the Parks and Rec Director on that issue. He gave a presentation kind of highlighting the requirements in CBJ code, and I believe that various members of CBJ staff are working on some specifics so that the Aquatics Board can adopt some regulations. And the next meeting of the Aquatics Board will be their board retreat on Sunday the 27th at 9 o'clock at the Mendenhall Library. The Travel Juneau Board met on September 26th. Some Travel Juneau highlights are that the ATIA conference was held in Juneau last week and saw record attendance and brought in about $900,000 of estimated economic impact to Juneau. And even as the summer season was dying down, volunteers worked more than 1,800 hours in the visitor information centers in August and September. And then I also attended PERS and TERS workshop held in Anchorage, hosted by the Alaska Municipal League on the 8th. And that was a fun full day I got to spend with Mr. Manager and Ms. Deputy Manager and the Mr. Finance Director. And I learned a ton about PERS. I have to say I didn't really know much about the issue before. I know a lot more now. I didn't leave feeling particularly optimistic, but I think that Mr. Manager has some big ideas, so I'm excited to see him implement those. And if anybody wants to talk to me about PERS, I'd be happy to. And that's my report.
Thank you, Ms. Trame. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I went to Southeast Conference in mid-September over in Sitka, and it was the best Southeast Conference I've ever been to. But it's also the first Southeast Conference I've attended as a representative of a municipality. So that was different. It was very, very great people there. I will be going to the Alaska Municipal League meeting in November, and I wanted to let my fellow assembly members know that I'm interested in running for an at-large seat, and just check with me or touch base with me if that's conflicting with something that anybody else has in mind. I just want to make sure everybody knew that. Bartlett, so I've been attending a lot of other committee meetings, not just the board meetings. I've attended the planning committee meeting and the governance committee meeting. Just to make sure I'm understanding what's going on, they've got several things going on sort of simultaneously. They're working on a facility plan or a comprehensive plan for the entire facility. They are trying to do some strategic plan, a campus plan, that's it, trying to do some strategic planning, doing a community needs assessment. We talked about that to some extent at the planning committee meeting. Members of the planning committee wanted to be sure that they had an opportunity to see the questions that were going out to the community so that the community doesn't suddenly start getting these, members of the community don't suddenly start getting these questions and not really understand what Bartlett's doing. So they're just trying to get an overall picture of the needs of the community. Some of us have talked about them exploring an affiliation study, and I think Chuck Bill says it best. What he says is this is really a SWOT analysis. This is not like we're trying to go affiliate with some other hospital. It's really trying to understand the reality of what's out there, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. So that's been interesting. Jensen Yorba-Lott is working, or Yorba-Wall is working on the campus plan. Let's see. Juneau Commission on Sustainability is drafting some criteria for a sustainability award. They will bring that to the assembly because that award would come from the assembly. But you'll be able to see it before they try to do anything with it. There's been some discussion, and I know that Mr. Bryson is involved in this, on incentives for not using plastic bags rather than just pursuing just a straight-out plastic bag ban, but kind of looking at the range of possibilities, including incentives. And Public Works last met on September 23rd. A couple of the items from that meeting were on today's consent agenda and the airport funding. And also upcoming is a local improvement district proposal for paving River Road.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I haven't gotten to as many things as I usually do. Just to sort of run down, thank the mayor for the Finance Committee, September 25th, I looked at the agenda. I haven't read any of the minutes yet. October 2nd and October 9th, we had the special meetings on our financial stability planning. Our next meeting for that will be November 2nd from 9 to 1. That's a Saturday here in Chambers. Ms. Cosgrove said she and Mr. Rogers are on schedule to have the last little bit of information you need for your homework, which is the cards and what to do with that and what to have done by the 31st of October. We'll be out Wednesday, maybe tomorrow, but at least Wednesday. We will have the November 6th regular meeting for the Finance Committee. I met with the Finance Director today to look at the agenda, and I think some of those came from the September 25th motor vehicle registration, as well as potentially some of the other things on the recycled part of the utility bill. Hopefully that will all be sort of ready to start the parallel process on November 6th. I attended the school board meeting, which was October 8th. They said goodbye to Dan DiBartolo and Steve Whitney, who did not run for re-election. Judge Amy Mead swore in the new members, Dee Dee Sorensen and Emil Mackey. They elected new officers. Brian Holtz will continue on as president. Elizabeth Sidden is the vice president, and Paul Kelly is the clerk. That's a little different. Dan DiBartolo was the vice president, and Jeff Short was the clerk. Since you saw in here that there is a school's facility CIP maintenance team, there is a facilities committee with school district. They will be meeting October 25th. There's only two members, but I was told today they were still going to have that meeting. I will make sure I go. October 26th from 8:30 to noon, they'll be doing a retreat at JDHS. I think at that time, all of the committee assignments, as they were redone, will be announced the day after one of their committee meetings. And then November 12th is their next meeting. I will be in Anchorage getting ready for 3 days of marijuana control board meetings that will be on 13, 14, and 15 in Anchorage the week preceding AML. Just a couple other comments. Mr. Smith, I am going to the Planning Commission tomorrow. There's a couple of items on there that I think are going to come before the assembly. And what format, I don't know yet. So I am going there. I've been following the downtown blueprint, but I have not made any of the meetings in the last couple of months. They have three scheduled for November. I'm trying to get those on my calendar. A couple of them, I think I will be out of town. And then I believe also coming before possibly the Finance Committee or Committee of the Whole would be the internet sales with AML and that agreement. I believe Mr. Rogers is looking at getting the agreement that we would be signing on to out to the assembly members via email so that you could see what that is. I think most of us are in agreement that's a good idea. Most of us are in agreement we need to proceed, but we still need to sort of see the details. And Mr. Rogers and I talked about that today, so I think that will be forthcoming. And other than that, I just wanted to say thank you to all for your comments during my surgery and for your thoughts. And I think I'm actually doing pretty good for less than 4 weeks out of surgery. So, but I do appreciate the support, especially my wife's support, because I really didn't care what she was doing. I was just trying to get out of the hospital. So, anyway, if she's listening, thanks. And that's it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Fletcher.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. The Committee of the Whole met on the 23rd of September. heard from Melani Shivens about Southeast by the Numbers, some very interesting information there. We had an update on the subport and long-range waterfront plan. We also talked about tourism planning a bit to queue up the tourism planning discussion, and we also heard the chronic nuisance ordinance with the current state of that. Our next meeting will be October 28th. I was out of town at a niece's wedding and visiting our nation's capital, so I missed Ms. Becker's party. I was sad to miss that. I want to wish her well. I mean, amazing, dedicated public servant for so long and worked so hard for so long, so I really appreciate her service and sorry to see her go. I went to some of the things that people mentioned. Thanks to Lorray Jones for taking care of Mr. Jones. And happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Gladyszewski. So we will move on to continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. I'm looking up, there's no public left, so we can move on to that. Any other items before the assembly? Seeing and hearing none, again, feeling of gratitude toward Mrs. Becker and her 18 years of service and most important years of service. So with that being said, happy Indigenous People Day.
You're tuned to KTOO Juno, and this concludes the on-air broadcast of the CBJ Assembly meeting. The rest of the next meeting is on November 4th. The time is 10:05. I'm Martha Moore, your host, and thanks for listening. Have a great evening.